We're talking about jobs, and the focus of your jobs proposal is what you call Innovate New Hampshire. And at its heart, Innovate New Hampshire puts the colleges at the center of future economic growth. Now, how long do you see that process working out? And is it going to happen quickly enough, given the state of the economy right now?
Well, Innovate New Hampshire puts education and targeted tax credits and technical assistance for our business at the heart of this. So it is colleges and universities, but it's also our K-12 system. It's our voc tech system. It's our community colleges. It's making sure that we are preparing a strong and skilled workforce for the 21st century economy. And that requires our education system in all sectors and at all levels to be really aligned with the business needs and the jobs that are going unfilled today.
And even if even in that most direct example where you have jobs that are unfilled and you have workers training to fill them, there's still going to be a lag. Is it going to be a case where we have a little bit more time because we're taking a more long-term approach that we may not see some short-term economic gains?
Well, I think we are. When you talk to businesses and show that you are ready as a state to help them tackle the challenge of job training, you can see some pretty immediate results. An example of that is Albany International over in Rochester. When you talk with their CEO, Joe Marone, he will tell you that as they decided where to locate, it was New Hampshire's responsiveness from the Department of Economic Development and from Governor Lynch himself and from our community college system, where he identified the need to train about 400 new workers in some very specific skills. And we came forward and said, here's how we're going to do that. So if businesses know that we have the strength, nimbleness, and commitment to making sure that we can train a workforce for them, they will come here, along with knowing that we're doubling our research and development tax credit, and along with knowing that we want to also leverage our university and colleges around the state to help use their expertise to help small and all-size businesses.
One of the ways that the state has been doing that up to this point is through the Green Launching Pad program. And I know you've talked about trying to expand programs like that. There's been a tension in the Green Launching Pad program about whether it should be nurturing promising ideas that are just getting off the ground but may have a lot of potential versus more established companies that may just need to fill more jobs but can do so more quickly, essentially getting more bang for the buck. Right. If we're expanding launching pad programs going forward, where should the priority go?
Well, it's always a balance, and this is always the type of judgment call that people working together have to make. But I think you want a balance for helping existing companies fill jobs right now, because obviously we have people looking for work too. So we want to make sure that we are helping people find jobs, good paying jobs that they will be able to, not only learn skills for those jobs at the moment, but also have the capacity to improve their skills and get more and more training going on. And also, though, with the research and development tax credit, attracting new businesses that are just, on the cusp of something new, so that we'll be building the long-term capacity for job growth in the state. One of the things I'm very proud of the fact that I did with Governor Lynch was create a job training program that has trained 14,000 workers for new jobs, better jobs, since its inception. And that's the kind of focus we need to have.
When you talk about something like aligning the state's resources, you could make an argument that this is openly embracing a more hands-on role for government in economic growth. Even though government has always been an economic actor through things like road building, questions of effectiveness aside for a moment, would this change the character of New Hampshire government? Would it move the state away from that live free or die spirit at all?
Oh heavens no. Look, what we have always done is made sure that there is a platform out there for success. Infrastructure is roads and bridges. It's also an education system. It's also energy. It's the things that allow businesses and individuals to compete and work for their own success. And what this really does, though, is make sure that our education policy and what's happening in our classrooms at all levels are going to prepare our young people for the work of today and tomorrow so that they'll be able to fill the jobs that are out there. And it also lets businesses know that we have the best workforce, the best human capital anywhere in the country, and that will attract them here, and we'll be able to have businesses that grow and create jobs.
I was reading the economic report from the Center for Public Policy Studies recently, talking about how the state may be facing some economic headwinds going forward. And one of that report's recommendations is that the state reconsider the way business taxes are structured, that business taxes as they exist now may be a curb on growth. I know you've talked about how enacting an income or sales tax is off the table for you. What would you propose going forward on business taxes, if anything?
Well, I do oppose an income or sales tax and would veto it if it came to my desk. And I think it's important to understand that in the overall tax climate, we still are one of the lowest tax burdens in the country, something I worked with Governor Lynch to make sure that we kept during our time in the state Senate. And I think we have to come together with the business community and listen and learn from them as well about what their priorities are. What I'm hearing most from the business community right now is this need to create a skilled workforce so that they can fill jobs in this sector of the economy that is ready to grow. And as we see economic growth, we can talk more about the particulars of the business tax policies that we have in the state. But right now, we've got to focus on making sure that we are creating the conditions for businesses to fill those jobs, grow, and then take the next step.
Last question, and this is one we're asking of every candidate. What would you tell Granite Staters to look for 2 years from now to see that they're better off then than they are today?
Well, what I would look for is whether we've got a state where people can find good-paying jobs, whether we are completing some of the critical infrastructure that our businesses are waiting for us to do in the southern part of the state in particular, so that, again, we can see business development, whether we have a state that is investing in education and attracting young people here, or at least keeping our New Hampshire residents here. Right now, it is less expensive to go to college in some other states than it is here at UNH. That means we're losing young people and a homegrown workforce in the process. So those are the kinds of things that I would look at. At the end of the day, this is about whether we're going to have an economy that includes everyone and gives everyone the opportunity to succeed. That's why I'm running for governor. And we need to make sure that we are including people of all talent and energy in all sectors. We need to make sure that healthcare is more accessible and high quality, and we begin to bend that healthcare cost growth. Those are some of the things that we're going to need to be looking at to make sure that we're moving forward. But at the end of the day, in this election, this is a very stark choice between a candidate, me, who will focus on making sure we have the resources to have a skilled workforce to attract new business here, or somebody who says that that isn't his priority.